It's Bill Bennett's Morning in America, live from the Bulova Studios. Here's Bill.
We got to get rid of that voiceover. The sun is rising. The sun has been up for hours. We've been up for 8 hours. Here's one of our buddies, great writer, great thinker, Jeff Jacoby, syndicated Boston Globe columnist. Joins us on Morning in America. Hi, Jeff.
Good morning, Bill. How are you?
We're doing all Boston music.
When are we going to get you back on Boston radio?
I know it's coming. We're working on it. We talked about it in Dallas this week. Listen, what does the Kingston Trio, whom you're listening, just listen to, and Barack Obama have in common?
Let's see. They need somebody to throw a sandwich to them through the window. I actually never understood why Charlie's wife didn't just throw him a nickel through the window when he'd gotten off the train.
Well, maybe she just didn't want him off the train. Yeah, anyway.
That's a thought.
Yeah, it's easier to throw a nickel than a sandwich, though.
You're much deeper than I am. I hadn't thought of that.
All right. We will give the answer later. What do you and I have in common?
Well, let's see. I live in Brookline, Massachusetts, and I think you once did, too.
I did.
Brookline, Massachusetts. I was just telling Seth before we came on the air. I live in the heart of Planet Liberal in Greater Boston.
Absolutely.
The kind of place where people have bumper stickers on their cars that say things like, friends don't let friends vote Republican.
That's it.
For the 8 years of the George W. Bush administration, the people across the street from me had a sign in their front window that said, dissent is patriotic.
Oh, yeah.
It disappeared on Inauguration Day. But so you get the idea. Michael Dukakis lives three blocks away from me.
There you go.
And I was telling Seth, even in my part of Brookline, in the last couple of days, I've seen some Scott Brown window signs and bumper stickers. Even here, people are feeling emboldened enough to show it. So who knows? There's something in the air, and I'm hoping it turns into an extremely interesting and a memorable election day tomorrow.
What's the deli, the big deli there? Nate Nails, that's L.A.
Marion and Jack's.
Jack and Marion's?
Now I think it's soft.
Long since out of...
I'm blowing this all morning. I asked about the Tasty Diner in Cambridge. I am just so out of time. I got to get back there, Jeff.
Next you're going to be... What was that place in Dover, Delaware that Joe Biden...
I'm sounding like Joe Biden. Stop me before. All right, listen, you are writing great stuff. So he can win this, right?
Who knows? Who knows? This is Massachusetts.
Yeah.
The state hasn't elected a Republican to the U.S. Senate since 1972. It's ironic. 72 was the year that Massachusetts was the only state to go for George McGovern. But it also reelected Ed Brooke that year, a sort of classic liberal Massachusetts Republican. But, there's just something in the air this time that feels very different. The president came to Boston, as you know, yesterday, and that obviously has the effect of pumping up the Martha Coakley troops. But there is this enthusiasm and this electricity about the Scott Brown campaign. I'll tell you, since tomorrow, for the first time in my life since becoming a registered voter, I'm going to vote in a U.S. Senate election in which the outcome is not a foregone conclusion. Yeah. I've never experienced that before.
That's amazing.
That's really something. This democracy thing I could get used to.
I want to ask you now if you can stay another segment, because I got a bunch of questions for you,
but the callers
are weighing in. Let's go to Howard in Knoxville, Tennessee, because this has been on my mind. Go ahead, Howard. You're on with an expert, Jeff Jacoby.
Good morning, gentlemen. I have a very quick point. It seems to me like the 10,000-pound elephant in this room who's quite silent and not visible to the public is Mitt Romney. My theory is if he wants that nomination and be the guy who stands next to Obama during the debates, he's got to deliver the state tomorrow.
Thank you, Howard.
I think you're doing Mitt Romney a disservice. He has very publicly endorsed Scott Brown. He's had his people, turned loose to make phone calls for him. I'm pretty sure that I saw him campaigning with Scott Brown. No, Mitt has definitely not been, a wallflower on this one. He's made no bones about the fact that he's supporting Brown.
Wouldn't Romney and Brown in the same picture kind of be like blinding? It was just so much good-looking guyness there.
Well, and Bill Weld was campaigning with him, and he's not too shabby either.
Is he handsome? We had dinner with Bill Weld in New York. We talked to him about this stuff. He said he was on his way up. He was excited about this.
Yeah, it really is something for. It's not as though Republicans never get elected in this state. Mitt Romney and Bill Weld are two good examples. But those are the governor's races, and those have always been the exception, where voters seem to be willing to vote for a Republican to try to keep some kind of balance with the overwhelmingly Democratic state legislature.
Yeah. But what is that? Is that about Massachusetts? A little bit of, I mean, bad faith, not bad faith, but kind of, well, I'd say false consciousness, but never mind that. But saying, okay, we'll send these senators to Washington, but when it comes to governing our own lives here, we want more responsible government?
Well, I think the election of several Republican governors in a row was a backlash to the Michael Dukakis experience.
Okay.
I think after Dukakis left office, you know, at the end of 1990, you know, the feeling was so negative about him and how the state had collapsed. Bill Weld was able to win, and you might remember Bill Weld, a Republican, ran for governor against a very conservative Democrat, your former boss and mine, John Robert Silber.
That's what we have in common, by the way. That was a trick question, but you knew the answer.
You just have to let me talk long enough.
I know. You'll get there.
It's like writing a column. Sooner or later, you'll cover the universe, right?
Exactly. So, you know, that was a race between a moderate Republican and a conservative Democrat, which just goes to show that this state is not quite the left-wing caricature that people think. But when it comes to Washington, it's extremely rare that a Republican gets elected. I don't think a Republican congressman has been elected in 17 years. So if listen, it would be a shock anyway for Massachusetts to elect a Republican to Congress, but to elect one to replace Ted Kennedy in the Senate would send such an incredible message to Washington. And frankly, you know, I'd be curious to know if you buy it. I think that there's, you know, a sense in which it could actually be good news for Obama and his people to lose this one tomorrow. Both because it derails health care, which I think is dragging him down further by the minute, and also because it gives them a 10-month heads up that they've got to change their act heading into the midterm elections.
Otherwise, they get neutered or neuted, right? I mean, yeah,
right.
Yeah, good point. We're talking to Joe Jacoby. He's somebody else, isn't he?
He's a football player.
Yeah, that's right. We're talking to Jeff Jacoby.
You know, I don't know anything about sports, but even I know that Curt Schilling is not a Yankee fan.
All right, you
which
got...
is something Martha Coakley apparently learned only this weekend for the first time.
This could be very costly in Boston, that mistake, couldn't it?
First she disses Fenway Park.
Right.
You know, makes that kind of sneering comment about what's the point of standing outside of Fenway Park shaking hands.
Oh, yeah.
Then she identifies Curt Schilling as a Yankee fan, and so therefore it doesn't matter that he's supporting...
Right.
Scott Brown.
And then mentions Carl Yastrzemski is just another communist. Right? That's pretty funny. I just thought of that. Let's go to Charlie. We got him off the MTA. He's in Edinburgh, Pennsylvania. He's got a question for you, Jeff.
Yeah, good morning.
Morning, hey, Charlie.
I hope somebody is thinking preemptively on this election up in Massachusetts and looking out for acorns so we don't have another Al Franken on our hands.
What about that? Is there a...
It's a good question. Actually, I've had people ask me about that for several days now. All I can say is I haven't seen, you know, I've seen neither hide nor hair of acorn, which doesn't mean they're not active here somewhere. If they're playing any kind of role, it's certainly been beneath the radar screen.
Mm. But they're not above that, right?
Anything is possible, I suppose. You know, dead people have been known to vote in Massachusetts, too, but... I'm hoping for the best, and I got to think that the enthusiasm and the vigilance of brown people will be at such a fever pitch that anybody who tries to pull fast ones tomorrow is going to get brought up short awfully quickly.
Jeff Jacoby, conservative Boston Globe columnist, syndicated columnist, will stay with us for another segment if you have a call or two. Is this true? Factual question. The rally the president had yesterday had a big crowd, but people said that the brown rally had every bit as many people as the Obama rally.
Yeah, from what I understand, I wasn't at either one of them, but from what I understand, the Obama people didn't manage to quite fill up that space at Northeastern University.
Really? Mostly a lot of Northeastern students dragooned in?
As I say, I wasn't there, so I don't know who they filled the room up with. You know, the pictures that you saw certainly showed big crowds around him, but the reports from people who were on the ground said that they didn't manage to completely fill the room. It was a last-minute thing. And, you know, to try to turn out a crowd on a national holiday weekend on a Sunday afternoon, even for the president at the last moment, I suppose, can be difficult.
Huh, President Obama in Massachusetts, if they tell me the Pope is coming to my parish, come on.
All right, you know, point taken.
Okay.
He is still popular over here. You know, Bill Clinton was in the day before, and, you know, he still remains popular. The fact that in the face of all of this Democratic star power, Scott Brown's able to, you know, get up in Worcester, Massachusetts, and have a huge crowd. It is something.
Good.
We have not seen this in generations in this state.
Stay with us, Jeff. Absolutely. Worcester. See how he said Worcester, not Wooster. It's Worcester, not Wooster. That's the College of Woosters in Ohio. Teresa, we'll get to you when we come back. You're the Bee Gees with Jeff Jacoby singing Massachusetts.
Speak about the people I have seen and the lights all went out in Massachusetts. He said, please come to Boston for the springtime.
Wow, that's a nice one. Who is that, Lloyd?
Reba.
Boy, please, I'm going to come to Boston when I hear that. Jeff Jacoby stays with us, syndicated columnist for the Boston Globe. Jeff,
mentioned that there's a Boston connection to Martin Luther King.
Yeah, Boston University.
A major Boston connection, right? He was at Boston University. That's where he earned his doctorate, right?
Absolutely right. I used to do a lot of work with the Martin Luther King Center there when I was there working for the same guy you work for. So someday all of us assistants of Silver need to get together and
like the former White House speechwriters do.
War stories, show our wounds.
We can show off our scars.
One of the things, I got a lot of calls, so I'll be brief. You be brief, too, if you can.
Yeah.
But people are saying, you know, the liberals say the Civil War and the Republican Party were tearing each other apart. Scott Brown is not a right-wing conservative candidate, but there doesn't seem to be much fuss or upsetness about him with us conservatives.
Absolutely right. He is clearly not a movement conservative. I have no doubt that if he gets elected, people who are staunch conservatives will find plenty of things to be upset about. But right now, the feeling that voting for him is the way to express disenchantment with the Obama administration, with what Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid are trying to shove through on party line votes, is so overwhelming that there's a uniting of ranks behind him. He really is, you know, it's a cliche, but this time around, it's really true. The man and the message are both made for this moment, and you could see it across the not only Republicans, but across the far more important spectrum of independent voters in Massachusetts.
Yeah, I like
who are breaking overwhelmingly for Brown.
In my commonplace book, I have one of the quotes. It's a Chekhov. I think you do not become a saint through other people's sins. But it's a good start, right? I mean, he's kind of sainted because of the sins of Obama, as you wrote in that brilliant column, Blame Obama.
Let's hope that feeling carries through it until tomorrow. I know that I sound like a broken record when I keep saying it, but the sensation that you get, the feeling that you get of what's in the air over here, of the atmosphere, is something that I've never experienced in, you know, close to 30 years of living in this town.
Let's go to, I'm sorry.
So, this is really a moment to focus on, and it deserves the attention that it's getting.
We got two calls. Let's try to get them both in the next 2.5 minutes. Teresa and Bradenton. Be quick, Teresa, please.
Hi, good morning.
Hi.
Morning.
I just wanted to let you know that on Facebook, there is a national outpouring for support of Scott Brown, and you're not hearing much about Martha on there. I've got liberal and conservative friends on Facebook. And my conservative friends are making phone calls from all over the states, donating money and doing what they can to help him. And they know he's more moderate,
right?
But they understand that, and they say in places you do need more moderate people.
Sure.
Because of the state.
All right, Jeff, there's no national movement for Martha Coakley, it appears.
Not at all. And, you know, Brown has done a good job of painting her as the candidate of the machine, candidate of the Massachusetts Democratic machine. And it resonates because she very much is. She's sort of a colorless candidate who doesn't inspire anybody. She's the status quo candidate. And this election is very much an anti-status quo election.
Let's go quickly to Richard. Does Scott Brown have a future? Go ahead, Richard. Minneapolis. Yes,
good morning. Good morning. Good morning, Bill. I almost hate to bring this up at this early stage that I might maybe just whisper it as a parallel to how Barack Obama.
Yeah, whisper it on national radio into a nationally syndicated column.
Okay. Nobody's listening.
Nobody's
right?
Like, go ahead.
Well, I'm drawing a parallel here for the future, and I'll just whisper it. Scott Brown.
Oh, okay. Does he have a national? Does he have a national possibility? Very handsome, right? Very articulate.
He's very good looking, and I got to think that counts. You know, that helps.
Oh, yeah.
You know, a lot of people find him very pleasant to look at. He's got a beautiful daughters and beautiful wife in an extremely pleasant and engaging manner. His manner is very upbeat.
You got to be good looking yourself. I mean, I got a beautiful wife and beautiful, great looking sons, but I've never run, Jeff. It's just not going to work, you know?
He's got the chemistry. And, you know, it shows. Every one of his political ads so far has been, you know, very positive. Most of them have just shown him, you know, schmoozing with people, being greeted as he walks down the street. Some candidates have that knack, a feeling about them that makes other people feel good to watch them in action. Scott Brown seems to have that. And, you know, whether he's going to win tomorrow, never mind what's going to happen in his political future.
Yeah.
It was a mystery to all of us.
One step at a time.
I'm glad to be around for the ride on this one.
Well, delighted. And stay close, will you? And let us know and maybe come back on. Maybe.
Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you, Jeff, very
Take
much.
Thank
Jeff
you.
Jacoby, terrific writer, one of our favorite people out there in the scribe world.